Hi, welcome back to Books and Broomsticks. I'm Chaotic Witch Aunt.
And I'm Matt Hatter Plays.
And today we have a very special guest with us. Lou, please introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Loretta. I go by Lou. I consider myself a full-time conjurer. I have an online business that's also carried in my favorite shop, of course, Ritual Craft. I am a forever student of magic. I am a worker, a parent, a spouse. And I spend the majority of my time, I guess, being a student under some of who I consider to be the most incredible elders and teachers in this path and tradition.
I love that. I was also reading the top of your shirt. Is it the Holy Mountain? Is it Moses's?
No, it's... I'm not sure if you probably, I'm not sure if she, well, you probably remember, Sade. Mm-hmm. She has Goat Witch Goods and she does all of these like.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's like, awesome.
Bootleg. It's one of my favorite movies.
I love that. It's like, this is just bootleg. It's fine. Don't even worry about it. Who can afford, the bougie things these days?
We're all just doing our best, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're all trying to survive 2023. Don't even worry about it.
Things that you are known for, Lou, at least with me, is your oils. And that's something that I really wanted to talk with you about because I've been using them for probably, I think, first time I visited Ritual Craft, I got one. And I've been using them since then. And wow, Hoonelli. They are fantastic. I started wearing the, I've changed oils, but I used to wear the Evil Eye oil every day. Yep. And then there was one oil, I think I got the Shut the Fuck Up oil. Mm-hmm. Chef's kiss. Wondrous. Absolutely amazing. So if you go into my little altar, like I have a little drawer, you just pull it out. It's just a lines of your oil that I've collected over 3 years.
Yours is on top of my altar space.
Yeah,
little bottle.
I think Matt was the one who got me.
I sure did. I was like, put this on. This shit rocks. It slaps.
So I definitely want to talk about kind of, and I know making oils isn't the only thing you do. I also have some of your scrubs, 10 out of 10. So I did want to kind of start by talking about like what led you to not just making oils but making your business and creating products and spiritual and witchy goods.
So I first learned oil making when I was really young. My first teacher, Dona Maria, was a neighborhood woman. And she was a practitioner of what brujeria. So not curandissimo, not maquia, but brujeria. Mm-hmm. In the region that she was from in Mexico. I had the really amazing experience of being able to literally sit on her living room floor in an apartment that didn't always have electricity and learn about plants and learn about blending those spirits. And it was a very not formal way of learning that I'm really, really grateful for. You know, it was, hey, go down to the local botanica and go buy this oil. And so I would bring it back. And she would say, what is this? What does this look like to you? And, you know, then I was like, don't really know. What is it? You tell me, you know.
Looks like oil.
Yeah, it looks like, I don't know. But what really that purpose was for me to be able to critically analyze what was actually in something. And what I found through her guidance was that those tools, which, and you know, nothing against those tools, they're, everything serves a purpose, right? And everything has a spirit. But those tools had lost a bit of the essence. And so I was taught then how to bring that essence back, and how to, even starting off using what was already in that bottle, and then how to create something that would serve my work better. Mm-hmm. So once I started to really understand what was available, mm-hmm. We went into learning the histories of some of those recipes. And then, much to my lack of really understanding at that time, we went into working with what was around me already, what was already growing, what was already available, what was in the botanicas. So, you know, back then, you know, we're talking, you know, over 20 years ago, there wasn't this beautifully curated shop with all of these beautiful, fresh plants on the shelves. You know, there wasn't a ritual craft. So I had to really get creative.
You and mean like 5 years ago, right? This is like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Only a couple.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's wild to me because it's like, I don't think a lot of people who are new to the work really realize how special these places are. You know, it's more than like this beautiful shop, right? And it is beautiful. It's beautifully curated, and there's lovely people there. But you have everything in one place, and that wasn't the way it was before. So I'm really grateful for spaces like that because I have to do less searching. But it did, working with Dona Maria did teach me how to find spirit everywhere. You know, it was her. She was who taught me how to first put together these tools.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question, and it's not on the syllabus, but it's still part of it.
Damn, first
for everybody else, we still have a outline. Thank you, friends. We're still ADHD. Anyway, with this plethora of shops now, like Etsy, even Amazon, which I'm not gonna get into ethical shopping at this very second time, but with this just mad abundance of things, do you feel like people who are creators now, or want to be creators, do you feel like they are at a disadvantage because they are just so dipped into everything and don't have that opportunity to really learn about the thing that they're using?
There's duality in all things, right? So yes, and you know, my hope is that with things being so accessible and literally at your fingertips, right? You can go onto your phone and you can buy whatever you want. And you don't have to learn about it. You know, you don't have to, it's such a different, you don't have to go into a place that is super small and maybe you don't even know it was there until someone told you. You don't have to make those connections with the shop owner. You know, you don't have to gain trust even from the shop owner. I mean, when I was, you know, in my teens, I, like the Botanica, the woman at the Botanica wouldn't sell you something if she didn't know you. You know, you had to really earn that. You had to make that connection with community. And then we all, you know, the goods behind the counter are what you really wanted. So I think that there is this, there's an opportunity for a disconnect, absolutely. But I do think that there is also in that the opportunity to spark the hunger for knowledge. If people aren't exposed to these things, they're never going to want to know more. And I think that the openness and the exposure helps lead people to reclamation. And I also think that, I mean, there's always going to be people who are in it for something to do, you know, in it for aesthetic or whatever. And that's fine. Like, I personally don't have anything against, do what makes you happy as long as you're not purposely harming people, right? But I really think that there's a hunger for the knowledge now that I haven't seen ever, but that does open a vacuum, that does create a lacking of people who are willing to or able to share genuine information. Mm-hmm. So there's that duality in that.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. And I really do pair with it, but maybe it's because I'm an optimist sometimes. I like to think that...
Optimist?
Fine. Leave me alone. In this case, I'm an optimist. I do like to think that, especially if you're someone like listening to a podcast about the craft, right? You are seeking that kind of knowledge at that point. It just seems like the more of something that there is, the more of a disconnect there ends up being. Y'all, somebody was asking me the other day that they thought peanuts were from Africa. Huh. So, like, that's just how the disconnect feels to me. It's like, once it's so abundant,
yeah,
you lose it.
Yeah. Which, and yeah, absolutely. And I think that there is a concern, you know, within the community, with elders or people who have been, like myself, who've been practicing for a long time, but I'm not an elder. There is a concern with making sure that information is accessible, but also maintaining integrity in that sharing. I think it's a tricky balance. You know, there are things that I truly believe that everyone should know. And then there are things that aren't for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah.
So maintaining the balance is a huge responsibility, but that is why, you know, community is so important. Be it online community, in-person community, whatever it is, we can't learn those boundaries if we're not active in community.
True.
Yeah.
And now to get us back to our pretty little outline over here, what are certain things you need to keep in mind when creating, especially oils or just as a general note when putting magical things together?
It's a big question. For me, and my practice is very much based in ancestor veneration. So yes, like knowing, honoring, respecting the ancestors of a recipe or a tool. However, if your work stops at honoring only the ancestors of that practice, tool, recipe, plant, and doesn't go beyond the ancestors and doesn't also mean honoring the living people of a practice, recipe, plant, then you're doing it wrong, I think.
Oh yeah.
I vibe with that.
Yeah.
My practice is like integral in survival, and I'm like, if you can't be respectful to everyone involved in this and actually, you know, learn something from this, you're doing it wrong. You're way off base, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for me, it's there, these, a lot of the recipes that, you know, we have, that we know about, right? There's Come to Me, there's Follow Me Boy, there's Van Van, there's all of these recipes that are historic and ancestral. But if all we're doing is following recipes and we're not conjuring and we're not working with spirits and we're not acknowledging that everything has a spirit and we're not asking permission, there are a million oils that I would love to make, but I don't necessarily have the permission to make those oils. And so I don't.
Yeah.
So I think as far as, it can't stop at the recipe. Mm-hmm. It has to go deeper. And I think it's also really important to ask yourself why you want to make this tool. Mm-hmm. What do you get out of it? But what does that tool get out of it?
Oh, Lou, I love hearing you talk. I love it.
You know, what does the spirit of that oil get out of you making it? Is this a one-sided relationship? Is there a relationship at all? And then how do you maintain the ethics in making products? You know, how do you, and this is something that I feel so much gratitude around, you know, people working with the things that I make. Like, I wake up every day so grateful that people trust me. And I go to bed every day so grateful that people trust me. But sometimes it's gonna take, you know, 4 weeks for me to get that order into Ritual Craft, you know? You know, recently I had a death in my family and it took even longer.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't in the right, not that I was in the wrong, because I think grief is sacred, but I wasn't in the space to be creating things or even going and digging up the mother bottles of these oils to pour and bring to the shop. Mm-hmm. I had to get to a place where I could be of service to those spirits in a way that was going to maintain the integrity of what I was bringing to the community. So I've had to really be okay with, I'm probably never going to have like 5 people making things for me, you know. I'm always going to be the one that has my hands in the work. You know, my sister-in-law helps me with, you know, tying labels and, you know, doing the things, but she's been there this whole time. Mm-hmm. And she gets it. That means that I'll probably be just a tiny shop forever. You know, it'll probably just be what it is. And I'm okay with that, because the second that the work gets out of my hands is the second that it becomes something that I never intended.
And plus, it's not yours anymore. Once it's left your watchful hands, and I would love to say watchful eyes, but no, it really is. Once your hands don't feel the same as anybody else's, your Follow Me is not my Delilah's love kind of thing. Like, it's not, they don't mesh.
Exactly.
I really resonate as someone who's like experimenting with making their own oils, mostly because I found that the herbs that I work with, all of my herbal allies, they're very based in like Italian folklore, and there's not a lot of them and not a lot of oils made with that in mind. Yeah. That, and I'm like making bitters and stuff because I'm like, the ancestors want good alcohol, I will give you good alcohol. But as I'm experimenting with it, I really resonate with the part where you have to work with all of those spirits, because every time I'm putting them in a jar, like I made like one and now there's three kind of just sitting, but every time I work with them, I went outside to take some juniper from my bush and I asked, can I have three sprigs of you? They gave me three sprigs. I said, you know what, maybe I'll take a fourth, and I couldn't cut the branch. And I'm like, okay, three it is. All right, thank you. I'll give you something later. But these kind of things were like paying attention to the way, and even like I work with flower essences as part of like Lisa Fazio's or the Root Circles Della Medicina course, paying attention to the way the herbs vibrationally and energetically work with you and what they're asking and what they take from you and what you get from them and what you give to them is so important. And I don't think that a lot of people, I'll say it, doing magic in this day and age really pay attention to that. And like, it doesn't matter how many times I go on YouTube and say, you need to be working with plants of spirits. You really need to be working with plants of spirits. They're not going to do it until they have like the experience of, oh, hello, crow, ingesting a like garlic essence and saying a prayer to Saint Michael and feeling your entire body heat up. And I had that happen and I'm like, now I know how to talk to this archangel that I've never, like, he's never seems like, listen, I need to literally take something that has his spirit and then talk to him. But things like that, it's like these experiences really happen with like putting your hands in it. And when people don't do that, or they just, you know, say, I'm just gonna follow the recipe, they don't have the experience of knowing that like, if I have a bad day, like I can come home and like work with Rose and all of my worries will go. And I know like the plants that soothe me. I know the plants that protect. I know the plants that like doing certain things with me and like don't like doing certain things with me. Mallow, don't know why. Me and Marshmallow do not get along. All right. I don't know what it is. I took the flower essence from Marshmallow and I was fucking tired of shit for 2 days. And I'm like, okay, all right, cool. We will not be calling on you for magic. I will use Mullen because you both have similar properties. But yeah, even then, like, I'm gonna give it another shot because I don't want to just take it for 2 days and give up. I want to be able to say, okay, tell me more, tell me what's going on here.
Yeah. But yeah, and what is the information that, even if that plant never ends up being part of your court, right, what lesson does that plant offer you?
What is it? Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
like me and Rosemary, we're great in the kitchen together. We're not great as magical partners.
So funny.
And it's because I'm not relaxed enough for anything Rosemary related. There, it's like trying to be all, hey, we're great, everyone's like cool and we're gonna be besties, and Emily, you're like, ah!
I love Rosemary.
Which kind of makes sense though with Rosemary, right? Because it does have that that blood flow aspect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's like fast.
Yeah,
fast.
But every time I try to put it in my practice, it's like, yeah, and I'm like, wow. No, this is not enough. This is not good.
Rosemary,
this is a bad relationship.
I do a lot of things, like not as much as Rue. And then there's a couple others that I'm like, you're in every single recipe, you're in every single spell, because they're so, I'm so reliant on them, and they help me so much. Rue. I made my own Rue water right before yours came to the store, and I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, I like poured Everclear over Rue because I need high grade alcohol. And then they're like, oh my God, Lou made like Florida water and Rue water with actual. And I'm like, God, yeah, I did that.
Maybe that tells you something. Maybe that tells you it's your time for you.
I know.
Start using your stuff. Oh, a little bit.
I am. Well, one of the oils I made, I put garlic in because I know garlic's supposed to be in there, but now it smells like garlic. So I'm like, I need an essential oil so it doesn't smell like fucking garlic. Cause like, I can't give it to a friend and be like, garlic? Delicious.
I would give it to me.
I would.
But, yeah. I mean, So I definitely resonate with everything you're saying. I wanted to ask, do you have a favorite and a least favorite oil you have made?
Yeah, so it's a good one. That's a really good question. So Magician is an oil that I have that I used to make available in the shop and to the public. I still love that oil, but it let me know that it didn't want to be available outside of people who already had it or just my personal work for a while.
Yeah.
Did the label just say magic?
It says magician.
Okay, then I don't think I ever... Unfortunate, but okay.
I mean, it probably will become available in a couple more years. But it just let me know, like, hey, this isn't, we're staying in your little apothecary now. We're not going out into the public anymore.
I have decks, like tarot decks like that. Like I have tarot decks that refuse to work with any, like they don't do readings for anyone else. They've, no, I'm just for you and don't try because I'm gonna just gonna be wrong.
Yeah. So it's, I guess it's not a least favorite, but it's definitely one that's like retired for now. My absolute favorite, Open Roads, always.
Who doesn't love a good Open Roads, though?
Road opening is so good.
Right? I love your scrub, your Open Roads scrub.
That's what I coffee. Have.
Oh, it's so, I feel so soft afterwards, too.
Oily. It's
full purpose. But my favorite oil, one that will probably always be super close to my heart, is Payme. Mm-hmm. I originally formulated that oil while I was working as a makeup artist at Shog and Willy's. I did makeup in the clubs for about 6 to 8 years.
I was going to say, you definitely felt that oil then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, when I first formulated that oil, I had the mother bottle, and where the makeup artist set up, there's like this little pantry kitchenette situation, and that mother stayed in that above that pantry kitchenette situation for about 2 months before I started to give it to the humans that worked there. But the club is always going to be people, you know, if you've never been in the industry, this will sound very weird, but working at Shotguns really did save my life. And all of the humans that I worked with there, I will always just love and adore for as long as I live. So Payme is probably my favorite.
Tell me about the most intense oil we've ever had. He demands intensely.
So, well, I think Black Cat is probably has been the most intense one for me. So the only other person's Black Cat oil that I would ever use was one of my teachers, Hoodoo San Luis, who passed, actually. It'll be a year on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And he made the most incredible Black Cat oil. And I've always, you know, it's working with the Black Cat has, throughout different traditions, has different meanings. But that it's a spirit that's pretty interesting and has a lot of, so that one is definitely, and that's actually why I made it available to the public once, and I probably won't ever put it on my website, to be totally honest.
Is there a reason for that? Is that just because the spirit is so demanding?
The spirit has let me know that this is an oil that, because the mother oil has black cat bones in it, is something that should be worked with by people that I see directly.
Yeah, I understand that completely.
Talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm. Plus, that's like a really potent oil to just give out, like.
Yeah.
From what I always knew about black cat oil, like, you get a good black cat oil, you've never had a bad day in your entire life. Like, every day is sunshine and rainbows because nothing's touching you for a little while.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, I think that's a, I understand that decision a lot, because I even think in terms of like cat bones and people knowing about that, like, I just think in terms of how, when I create content around bones, I always have to make sure they're ethically sourced, I know directly where they came from, and then when you're supplying that oil that includes something like a black cat bone,
I think it's super important for people to know that there was a point in history when, you know, getting those bones was done a certain way, but we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have to. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important for people to know that. I think it's also really important for people to understand that we just don't abuse the spirits of animals.
Yes. Yeah.
And it is also important, I mean, when you really think about the way, as you were talking about, knowing the history, knowing how it all comes together, like, you got to take good and bad. When you're talking about, like, black cat bones in particular, you've reached a whole new level of that. There is no glory without, like, a long history of pain and such. And that is a missing element to a lot of people's creation, is that they'll sit there going, oh, black cat bone, yeet that in there. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Like, you're throwing in generations of good and bad when you're just kind of throwing it in there.
I'm not familiar with the way black cat bones are sourced, but I'll have Matt tell me later, or how they used to be sourced. I don't want to give that information to the internet.
Not kindly.
No.
Tell me about your background. Pretty please.
No, wait, the question is, how does your background inform your business and creating products?
Yeah, that's what I said.
So I'm a person who is fortunate enough to have elders and teachers. Mm-hmm. And my elders are, again, some of the, in my opinion, and in a lot of other people's opinion too, you know, the some of the greatest root workers that are alive today, who are public with their work, because there are a lot of great root workers who are not public with their work. So everything I do reflects on them.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that that informs my business is that I am very aware of legacy. I am very aware of anything that I put out, any product, any information. I'm really, really aware of how that will reflect on my elders. Mm. And honoring my elders is really, really important to me. And I think some of that has been lost for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Something that Professor Porterfield always says that sticks with me is, when an elder dies, a library burns. So I've been gifted all of this, and I've been gifted a seat at this table that isn't mine, right? I'm a guest in this tradition. I'm a guest at this table. So I truly want to make sure that everything I do, that A, I'm open to correction, and that everything I do is honorable. So when it comes to my business, when it comes to the goods that I make, when it comes to anything that I write, even, I keep in mind that I'm a guest.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question. What's your favorite product that you have in your store, or that you've, I guess we already said like favorite that you've made, but currently your favorite product that is in your store?
Right now, I would say the Florida water.
So good.
It took me so freaking long to perfect that recipe in a way, because I can, I've been making my own Florida water for a very long time.
Yeah.
However, it wasn't always, there was always something that was just like a note that was missing. And, you know, I was doing like the distillations, and, you know, I have my own feelings around working with essential oils on a mass scale. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't quite figure out like, what is this that I'm missing in the distillation? Well, it finally came to me a couple years ago that I needed to tincture certain ingredients as opposed to distill.
Mm.
And that was like the sweet spot. Yeah. So I'm really loving that I have finally perfected the Florida water.
Yeah. Do you not use essential oils at all in your, like, oils or your products?
So I, there are a couple, and I don't, I have no, I understand that a lot of people do work with essential oils, and that is beautiful. I think that essential oils can be extremely healing. But sourcing is so important, because I'm working in a tradition that didn't necessarily have the ability to go and buy essential oils. I really try to stick to tradition in a big way.
Yeah.
So if something, I will say with Pamie does have bergamot, but you know, in all honesty, like essential oils in general, the spirits of those oils don't always click with me.
Yeah.
So when my personal oils, if they have a scent to them, it's because they've been sitting, that carrier oil has been sitting with those plants for a really long time. And I never fully drain a mother oil. There's always a certain amount of mother oil that stays in the bottle. So, and again, you know, my niece, I have a niece who makes like incredible goods with essential oils. It's just not something that I, our spirits don't always mix.
I have one that we didn't put on there, but I'm super curious. Do you have a new product in the making? And can we know?
Yes.
Hey, yo!
So I have... There are certain things that I make just for myself, but I am working on expanding my waters and how they are available to other people. There is an ancestral offering water that I am polishing up now.
I'm looking for my credit card to bang on the table, but
oh, all the cards just went to the tree.
Give me. That sounds amazing. Wait, like it's an offering water. That is the most low key,
so smart,
best idea ever. Because there are so many people who sit there going, what do I give my blah, blah, blah?
My ancestors give me water.
Here you go. You could literally have this whole thing that's just meant for that.
And then, you know, you, so the goal is you'll have the water that, but then like what I want for people to do with it is to place it on their ancestor altar, pray over it, work with it, and then add the things to it. Like if there's plants that your ancestors would have worked with or would like, add that to the bottle.
Throwing in all the corn.
I love that. My ancestors just asked for really nice wine. I gave them a candlelit chicken parm dinner. And the next day I got a tarot reading and they were like, what kind of brand? And the reader's like, what kind of brandy do you give your ancestors? I'm like, I don't know. One that's big comes in a $20 bottle. And they're like, they want something nicer. And I'm like, are you shitting me?
Do better.
I'm like, which one? And they're like, I get them like a nice wine too. And I'm like, that's splurging. And they're like, it's splurging for both of you. And I'm like, I don't have the money. What is going on? I don't have the money for this. So I have to find like a $40, $50 nice brandy just for them and a nice like $20 bottle of wine for both of us. So I mean, I'm like, damn, I give you guys homemade chicken parm once and you're like, where's the good shit? You've been home now on us?
Like, wait, hold on. We could have been living this life.
Like you home, right. They're like candles, homemade chicken parm, and where's the good wine? And I'm like, is this $20 giant bottle not good enough for you? Sutter Home? You want something better than Sutter Home? Oh man. So
I want something better than Sutter Home.
Listen, Sutter Home, the only way I drink cheap wine, because my dad raised me to be a fucking wine snob. He always has the really good wines in house. I make some rose syrup and I do rose syrup with a little bit of wine, and that's the only way I can drink it.
Gross.
Yeah, I like it. But yeah. Do we have final thoughts, final questions, anything else that's not on the docket?
Something that I want to say to both of you that I have mentioned before, but it's important. What you're both doing is really important.
Your work
matters.
Oh.
And I know that there's, you know, a lot of talk sometimes, I mean, I see it all over the interwebs that, oh, you know, people who are young or people who may be just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important for us to not discount young people who are in the work. If it wasn't for people like the two of you, these traditions would die. So keep doing what you're doing.
Girl, it's Tuesday. I don't have time to cry.
I don't want to cry. And I already had my monthly crying session. So
keep writing, keep recording, keep talking. Yeah. You know, it's so important. And I think that it really does save people. You know, if people can go somewhere and listen and read and watch, you're probably making a bigger impact than either of you realize. So keep doing it, no matter what happens.
Thank you. That's very, very sweet.
It means a lot. It does. Sometimes we sit here and we're like, what the fuck are we doing?
That's my permanent way of existing. I don't know what I'm doing, but we're doing it. What about you, Frankie?
Huh?
Thoughts?
I don't have any final thoughts. I think I've always really loved your products, and I think I've always used them and been like, how the fuck is this shit so bomb? And then talking to you, I'm like, that's why. Because everything lines up at every stage of the process. And there's respect and trust and care put into it in a way that I don't really see a lot with other practitioners. I think it may be one other person that I can think of, like, it's Matt off the top of my head that I'm like, the respect and the trust with every step of the process is there. It's not like there aren't others who have that in them or have that in their practice. I just don't see it, or I don't feel it. And it may be because like we live far away from each other. I don't get to spend a lot of time around them. But yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to have a good cry after this and hug it out.
I think my finals would be, this is just as much for us as I think that you have that belief that it's for others. As a folklorist, this is as close to the dream without actually having to go out into some random fields in the middle of rural Kentucky as I could possibly get. I mean, we get to sit here and see people and how they're actually living it and how they're actually doing it. We get to see extremes all the way from Moses, who will probably blow himself up one day, to you, Lou, who takes a very respectful, I would say more quiet approach. You're not playing around with very explosive material.
Technically, Moses already blew himself up.
He did. He did indeed. Yes, he blew up his whole kitchen. But we get to see these extremes. We get to learn about the respect and like the experience. We get to live it without having to try to be everywhere at one time. We actually get to get a small little snippet of everybody who's going to be our elders later in life, and we get to build those connections. Because I mean, we'll face up, everybody that we've talked to who's older than us, like, they're probably going to continue their journeys. And then maybe one day when all of us have more grays, we will be able to sit there and say, hey, we got to talk with you for an hour. Would you mind if we got to spend, you know, a month, however long, with you? Because we finally get to see everyone's journeys from mid to early all the way to late. So it really is for both of us. Like, it's amazing to get to show others what all of this looks like. But it's also really cool for us because we're like, wow, we're not just building rapport with people. We're actually getting to see different journeys and how we want to live those journeys. So,
and building community, right?
It's real wild. We have like a little community that we didn't plan on necessarily. We just wanted to talk to some cool people and rant on the internet about witchcraft. And now there's, you know, people reaching out wanting to talk with us. There's people reacting to our stories, people who are talking about their days, which we appreciate. We just can't get to every single one of you. I'm so sorry, but there's like 100 messages in our requests and we're like, we love you.
What? I haven't looked at them.
Yeah, if you go looking through like all of our different like analytics, if you go through, there's just a bunch of people, you know, really showing a lot of love. There's a lot of people who ask questions that maybe we just don't know the answer, or we're getting there ourselves. But yeah, it's so you guys do just as much as we're doing. We're just the guys who go and be a middleman, try to help everyone connect together.
Yeah.
Are you either of you familiar with the Hyatt collections?
I don't think I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When we're done, I'll send, because it's kind of a, what you all are doing is kind of a modern version of that work.
I'm very excited about that. Maybe we can look at some of our past stepping stones and see if they can help us in the future.
Yeah. This has been Books and Broomsticks. I'm Chaotic Witch Aunt.
I'm Matt Hatter Plays.
I'm Lou.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.